Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for sticking around for the last session of the day. I know everyone's eager to get to the pool party. So my name is Lauren Howe, and I'm a graduate student at UC Davis, where I'm studying international agricultural development and public health. While at UC Davis, I've had the really incredible opportunity to manage a program called the Trellis Fund, which has helped make my graduate studies possible financially. And today I'm going to talk a little bit more about how the Trellis Fund builds scientific and organizational capacity along the horticulture value chain by engaging young scientists in local organizations. So the Trellis Fund is a grant-making and capacity-building program based at UC Davis under the Horticulture Innovation Lab, which is one of the 22 innovation labs within Feed the Future, the U.S. government's Global Food Security and Hunger Initiative. At its core, the innovation labs connect researchers in the United States and the Global North to researchers and practitioners in the Global South. It's a unique model that creates synergies around the specific problems of projects, and also generates really enduring relationships between North-South collaborators. In the early days of the Horticulture Innovation Lab, we weren't yet funding small organizations, and we were actively looking for ways to engage students in the work that we do. One of the original Trellis Fund founders, Peter, had a background in the Peace Corps. He worked really closely with organizations in country who were grassroots and really close to the farmers that they were serving and had a really accurate understanding of the issues that were happening on the ground among smallholders. Yet these local organizations are oftentimes excluded from funding and opportunities within mainstream development mechanisms because of their small scale, and they frequently lack the funding for operating basic costs such as internet or gas money to reach the farmers they were serving in the field. So in creating the Trellis Fund, we really wanted to prioritize these local grassroots organizations and their notions and understanding of international development. As such, it's these local organizations, in close collaboration with their project beneficiaries, who design Trellis Fund projects and really specify the type of expertise they're seeking from graduate students. While studying at UC Davis, Peter also met other fellow grad students who were really eager to apply what they were learning in the classroom to a real-world setting, not just research papers or other academic applications. So we also wanted Trellis to serve as a mechanism to attract grad students into the field of international development. It was our way of recruiting talented master's and PhD students who didn't yet know about how challenging, rewarding, and complex development can be. So in 2011, the Trellis Fund was started at UC Davis, and it evolved as a logical extension of the larger Horticulture Innovation Lab, but a model that includes smaller actors. And while our overall goals are the same, we really want to tap the potential of small organizations and the passion and desire of grad students to make a difference. So the Trellis Fund brings these actors together to collaborate on short-term projects to address horticultural challenges faced by smallholder farmers. After Peter graduated from UC Davis, a number of other grad students, including myself, have had really big shoes to fill in managing this program, including monitoring, evaluation, and long-term visioning. And I think being able to share the Trellis Fund model at the ASHS conference with you all is one of the best ways we can improve the program and also help disseminate this model to other institutions. So how does the Trellis Fund work? I'm hoping that some of you will walk away from this presentation considering the possibility of implementing a similar program at your institutions, so I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the logistics. So as part of the Trellis Fund, the Horticulture Innovation Lab releases a request for proposals, and organizations in lower-income countries compete for small grants. These funds will be used to implement horticulture projects along the value chain, including in production, post-harvest, marketing, and consumption. As a part of their application, organizations also specify the type of expert support they seek in a U.S. grad student who will act as a consultant on these projects. Following outreach and recruitment efforts, U.S. grad students can then apply to multiple projects, And once both parties, the organization and the student, are chosen through a rigorous selection process, the organizations will receive a grant and are then matched with a student who has the appropriate technical background. The grad students then participate in a 10-week training seminar that meets once a week for 2 hours. Topics in the seminar have included things like monitoring and evaluation, how to design surveys, workshops and extension materials, storytelling and branding, and gender and social inclusion. During and after the seminar, the student and organization communicate regularly, and the student contributes 100 hours of remote consulting work on their projects, which typically last between 6 and 12 months. During the life of the project, both the organization and the student are responsible for submitting their reporting, and the student also travels briefly for a couple of weeks to work with the organization in country, finally getting to put a face to the many emails and video conversations that they would have had with their organization leading up to the visit. So the benefits of the Trellis Fund program are multiple. Both the grad students and the organizations benefit from this. Trellis is a unique funding, capacity building, and network opportunity for both parties, including the organizations who may be able to use their small grants to then leverage additional funding. As a mechanism for international extension, Trellis also supports local organizations to more effectively deliver evidence-based technical information to the producers they serve through graduate student-supported farmer trainings, field trials, and intercultural relationship building. The Trellis Fund is also a learning opportunity and international exposure for grad students to apply what they're learning in the classroom to a real-world setting. Trellis has effectively demonstrated how young scientists can meaningfully contribute to the goals and capacity of organizations in lower-income countries. And as such, these budding U.S. researchers have benefited in the area of career development. Related to this, another really unique facet of Trellis is the fact that it's a program that was completely designed and continues to be implemented and evaluated by grad students at UC Davis. Here, we have the freedom to really experiment, try new approaches within the program, and are constantly seeking ways to improve and refine our systems. This program management opportunity has provided us with really invaluable professional development and career-related experience. So now I want to share a really brief example of a Trellis Fund project to make it more concrete for you. So in 2018, we funded an organization called Muino Group to conduct a project titled Enhancing Shelf Life of Fruits and Vegetables with the aim of promoting post-harvest technologies to reduce losses among smallholders. Muino Group was led by an individual named Andrew Baguma, a local Ugandan, who specified needs for a grad student that included skills in post-harvest and food preservation. They were ultimately matched with a grad student named Annabelle Yu at UC Davis, who is currently getting her PhD in microbiology and has expertise in food safety. She had never done project work or research outside academia, so the Trellis Fund really provided her with a practical application for her studies. And this is also her first experience traveling to a lower income country. Annabelle worked with Muino Group for 100 hours. She primarily prepared training materials, researched small-scale post-harvest technologies, and also developed a baseline survey and a monitoring and evaluation plan for the project. She also traveled to Uganda for 2 weeks where she helped carry out the project work in person, including leading trainings for extension advisors on fermentation, constructing solar dryers, and also general practices on reducing post-harvest losses. The results of the project included training over 160 participants and establishing a post-harvest training and services center. So Annabelle and Andrew's story is it's just one of many. Trellis has been in existence since 2011, and we've had 6 rounds of funding that have included 76 projects with 60 organizations in 17 Feed the Future countries, under which we've engaged 76 graduate students and trained more than 12,000 individuals, including almost 2/3 women. So now that I've shared some of the major successes around Trellis, I want to share a little bit more about what it costs to run a program like this. So each project costs around $8,000 per organization and student pairing. About half of that is in the form of a small grant that goes directly to the organization for operating costs and project-related expenses. And then the graduate student has all of their travel costs covered, including their airfare, their meals, vaccinations, et cetera. And then they also receive a completion fellowship after wrapping all their activities up. In terms of staffing, as I mentioned, between one and two grad students manage the Trellis Fund on an annual basis, working 10 to 20 hours per week. And at UC Davis, as a graduate student researcher, this means that my tuition is covered and then also health insurance and a stipend. So it's a really incredible, generous opportunity for grad students. And we also receive staffing support from a financial analyst, a travel planner, and a communications staff person. So where is Trellis now and where are we hoping to go? As I said, we had our sixth round of funding in 2018. And in March, we hosted a Trellis Fund Summit in Washington, D.C. This was a two-day conference that gathered 30 Trellis participants from 10 countries. These included organization representatives, student alumni, as well as current and former Trellis staff. Participants joined us from East and West Africa and South Asia. During the summit, we were able to reflect back on lessons learned, both successes and challenges, and we also brainstormed ways that we could potentially improve the program in the future. Some of these goals discussed included increasing the funding amount awarded to the organizations, extending the project timeline to be more than 1 year to increase the impact of individual projects, as well as increasing the pool of universities where grad students are eligible to apply to be Trellis Fund consultants. And this slide just shows the photos of the participants that joined us in Washington, D.C. It was a really diverse array of participants. So we really believe in the Trellis Fund model and have seen its impact on both organizations and grad students. Trellis was designed to be easily duplicated by other institutions and can be scaled up or down as needed. And we're really eager to see the model spread so that more grad students and organizations get the opportunity to collaborate and learn from one another. If you're interested in adapting the Trellis Fund model at your own institution, I would encourage you to explore what kinds of international programs or offices currently exist. If there are staff members or faculty who would be interested in providing mentorship, technical expertise, or program oversight, and if there are young researchers or grad students who would be interested in participating in this kind of international extension and horticulture-related work. Adapting this model to new or existing programs is a really powerful way to connect grad students with local organizations and transfer knowledge and resources to smallholder farmers. I really encourage you to contact me if you have any questions or want to know more information. Thank you. In the back. So the question was, does the graduate student travel independently to the country? Yes. So each student works with their host organization to determine a mutually convenient time to travel. It has to fit in with the academic commitments of the student, but also the agricultural seasonality and the needs of the host organization. And so they figure out a time. And this past year, we had 15 projects, and each student pretty much traveled at a different time. And so they do travel independently, and we try to coach them through that and make sure they feel prepared and safe and well-supported while they're abroad. Yeah, great question. How do we ensure safety in country? So we work really closely with the UC Davis Travel advisory, and so this is through the Global Affairs Department. And we regularly monitor safety and security ratings, which are consistent with the U.S. State Department ratings in terms of level of security. And so if anything exceeds, I believe it's a 3 on that scale, we will either not send the student or we'll discuss with Global Affairs and make sure that it is secure. We would never send a student into a situation where their safety might be compromised. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Let's give a round of applause to all the speakers, and thank you all for your participation.